feel, but this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay. Democracy is coming to the USA.
Five by five around the world. This is the American Disquisition Hour, hour two on Friday, the 29th day of August, 2008. The last I heard, we had a five by five signal coming out of Phnom Penh, Cambodia, and Canberra, Australia, and New Zealand. Thank you, Bobby. I appreciate that. Hopefully, we'll be able to keep the audio going again. We've had a great 1 hour with Colorado Owl in the news. We've got a follow-up show today with Dr. Judy Wood, and if Judy Wood is out there, I'd like to welcome her on board.
I can't really hear. It sounds off in the distance and echoing.
You're okay. Well, we'll see what we can do about that. Is that better?
Yes, that is.
Okay. Well, we have a minor problem out here on the system. Hopefully, we can get this signal locked in. It has something to do with the mic. It's the mic going through the computer.
Oh, okay.
But you should be able to hear me now, really good.
Yep. Sounds great.
Okay. Now we've had four illustrious hours with you over the last 2 days, and I want to personally thank you for opening my eyes with things that I have seen the last couple of days in my own investigations overnight, and to let you know that I'm proud to know that there is somebody out there that's taken the due diligence to put together such a fine website and be able to talk to the masses about this hidden truth that other physicists around the United States, around the world, aren't talking. And that's the way I feel, and I'm so proud that you continue to do so. And my some of the Marines were asking me last night in the Marine Corps chat room of why aren't your discoveries being discussed. And that's probably the most important question from everybody is why aren't others discussing these anomalies.
That is the best question. And there's a lot of answers I could give to that, but it is, you know, not total speculation, it's educated guess. We're being controlled. We're being controlled as to what we're exposed to and what we're supposed to talk about and not talk about, even if it makes no sense. Is it reasonable to think that a building disintegrates into a pile of dust and blows away with the wind? And that's normal. Pretty soon it will be normal.
Yeah, it will. Pretty soon it will be. It will be walking around and our buildings will be gone. The problem I'm having with all of this is what happens to the human body when a building, when you're in the top of a building like the building one or building two of the World Trade Center, and this evaporation process starts taking place.
Let me correct you right away. I'm not calling it an evaporation process. I do not want that word used. Evaporation applies to specific mechanisms.
Okay. And well, I stand corrected.
That mechanism. Right. I know. And it looks like it just goes away, and it's casually used. But so many of the opposition manipulate people's thinking by saying it's evaporation, and then from evaporation they determine it has to be high heat, and from high heat they say, you know, pretty soon we're off onto a different problem that they're trying to solve.
Okay, let's go back to the question: is what happens to the human body when they're in a building that this anomaly happens or occurs to where all of a sudden all of this concrete is converted to ash, for lack of a better term. And what would happen to the human body? Because we saw firemen walking around and just like the fire wasn't even there. They just walked right through it like it wasn't hot or anything. And that's another thing, an anomaly that I saw in the pictures. What do you think?
Human bodies can be affected. Now, whatever affected that, you know, it made it look like a fire that he was watching through, that it had already happened to that. And it wasn't happening in that area at that time when he was walking through. But I have seen evidence of an effect on people. I think we've all seen pictures where somebody has a bright, bright red face, like there's a sunburn.
Right.
And it could be that the capillaries are exploding under the skin. There's other pictures I've seen where it looks like blood vessels have just all exploded.
And I've got an IM here. I got an IM here from somebody that's saying that is from her website. What is her website, Dr. Woods? Give out your website, please.
That's drjudywood.com. That's drjudywood.com. My last name has four letters, and so drjudywood.com. And so there's pictures on there that show, you know, bright red faces, other ones where you see blood vessels that have exploded near the surface of the skin. But whatever was in that building turned to powder, gone, turned to something.
Except paper.
Except, well, we don't know what paper did disappear, but yeah, a lot of paper was left.
There was a whole lot of paper left, and it was laying everywhere amongst all of this stuff. What happened to the steel that was in the wall, or you know, in the if nothing else, the steel that was in the floor?
Is it that held up the walls? The outer columns were all steel columns, and the core columns were just very robust columns. And if you look at all the adjacent buildings, they didn't have big steel wheat checks landing on them. You know, and 110 stories is way above any other building around the area. So why didn't you have anything, you know, dribble over onto an adjacent building? It was only dust that landed, except for the last 20 stories or so. But one thing that's quite interesting to me is there's no evidence of any toilets. Washrooms, you know, the ceramics. How many toilets do you think were in those buildings?
110 floors? It had to be at least two.
In the rubble pile.
You know,
no computer monitors in the rubble pile, but you think of ceramic as being very robust. Why don't you have a busted up part of a, you know, a sink?
A toilet. I mean, you're right. I mean, I never thought about that. That is a very astute point. I never saw anything in all of that rubble, not one ceramic sink, ceramic toilet. I mean, even in the men's room, there's at least every men's room I've ever been in a major building has had a men's room per floor, and they would have at least four to six urinals. So what happened to all that ceramic? Yeah, you're right on point. That's an astute question. Yes, what happened to it?
And there may have been even exercise rooms someplace with showers or, you know, tubs or something. Yeah, there's a lot of it's just gone. And the adjacent buildings, like the World Financial Center, had ceramic, looks like, around the doorway. It's just completely gone, but the rest of the side is okay. And there's testimony of people who did make it out of the building. On the way down into the lobby, they said that the marble on the wall was just shattering off the walls. There's pictures from the underground where the marble siding on, you know, the columns and so forth in the mall is just gone.
We have an IM from Shreveport, from Stan, who asked in the photograph of the gentleman that has the super red face. Is anybody done any questions to ask who that man is? And what happened to that man in the last 7 years?
No, and other people have seen pictures of it. I haven't posted up there. I'm wondering what their recollection is. The pictures I saw of them, they were freaked out. They were scared to death.
Maybe we need to run, if we've got any listeners, I know we've got one listener, we've got one rebroadcast network there in New York. Maybe he can help me put a news article in one of those newspapers up there to ask if there's any survivors that had that had a red face, to get in touch with Dr. Judy Wood. I'm asking this gentleman right now. He just chimed in with me and said that yes, he's here, and this signal is being rebroadcast in one of the boroughs there in New York City. So that's a good question that maybe Philip can get out there and put it in a paper and say, hey, you know, we're looking for survivors.
Links on my website. There's one that says whistleblower, and if you go there, there's a form that you can fill out to either, you know, anonymously send the information, or you can even leave me your email address for me to contact you. Or some other means of contact.
I think the term...
For anybody who has information, I would love to hear it.
I think the term whistleblower, kind of, they think that you've got to be involved with the company. Philip, you need to let these New Yorkers know that they're not necessarily whistleblowers. They're just witnesses to an anomaly that's happened, and we need to get them to talk to Dr. Wood. That makes a lot of sense. We're also, Dr. Wood, looking for a video out there that was done on the building of the Twin Towers that was played on PBS. The last time it was played on PBS was in April of 1989. That was put together in before it was modified and redistributed after 2001. I don't have the name handy. I should have brought
There's
that.
There's a version I have on my website on my videos page where it has segments where you see how they're building the towers.
Correct.
Where they're pouring the concrete right on the bedrock, and how they put the slurry wall in.
Uh huh.
It's very informative. You know, what hit me when I saw that is, here are these big steel beams going straight down to bedrock. You know, directly connected to the bedrock. If those upper floors are shattering, why didn't the bedrock, or the connection to the bedrock, or in the basement?
That's a good question.
So why does it just stop right at ground level, not go below ground level?
That's a good question. Why did it go below ground level?
Because they had echoes through the basement.
Uh-huh.
And the mall was fine. Roadrunner survived. You know, the Warner Brothers had a store there in the mall, and it has a big, greater than people size, maybe it's even, you know, 8 feet high, Foghorn Leghorn, and there's a Bugs Bunny, there's a short little Roadrunner. He looks like he's about 5 foot tall or four and a half feet tall. Without a scratch on him. Imagine that. Roadrunner has a 500,000 ton building fall on him. Comes out fine.
Well, we have a Marine that's got a sense of humor over in Butler Base who comes in and says, the Roadrunner just took a trip out and then came back.
Right. I comment on the airplane shaped holes in the building. Looks like Roadrunner was in the shape of an airplane.
Yeah.
You know, real airplanes don't make cookie-cutter cutouts like that in buildings when they crash. As you pointed out, they splinter up in parts all over the place and in disarray. But people watch too many cartoons, and they fall for the Roadrunner trick.
Uh-huh. I have a couple of listeners in Pittsburgh that say they're too busy to ask questions, but they're listening.
Hello.
And that's a big problem, Dr. Wood, that we have in the Informational Freedom Network. Everybody's busy going someplace instead of asking. And I don't blame them. I mean, they
That's the way it's designed. If you're too busy, you can't ask questions like, why do buildings turn to dust? I don't know. I got my work to do, and let somebody else worry about it.
Right.
And, I did that.
I've got a Marine that says, we got about 10 Marines listening to the show here in Butler Base, but we're getting ready for an inspection. We just can't come over to the monitor and shoot quick questions to you.
Oh, I wish somebody could relay some questions.
Uh-huh. He said, from Pennsylvania, we come in and says her site is extremely informative.
Well, thank you. I hope it to be.
And that's to those that are listening live. If you'll go to the IM, Drew Raines at Yahoo, just send me an IM, Drew Raines at Yahoo. I'm in the Yahoo Messenger service. You can get me through the MSN web messenger service, and you can chime in on the Skype. Those of you that are in the Marine Corps chat room, you can type in right there on the Skype board. Questions, it comes directly to me. You just look up there where it says Major Raines or caretaker, and those questions will come directly to me. And Dr. Woods is very open for your questions. So please just don't sit there and listen. This is interactive. This is an opportunity to talk to one of the foremost investigators of what happened on 9/11. She's not just pulling a straw out of a hat. She's actually got evidence and questions to the photographs of what's going on. And yesterday, Dr. Wood, we discussed primarily several segments of the hurricane that was off the coast. And I do have an IM here asking what was the idea of the hurricane being off the coast and no news on any of the newspapers here in New York City discussing the hurricane off the coast even after 9/11. There's been nothing mentioned. These are the first photographs that I even knew there was a hurricane off the coast of New York, and I live here.
Yeah, it didn't know it was headed right for town. Yesterday we talked a lot about the Hutchinson effect, and why I needed to cover that first is so that you would understand about the hurricane. So on my homepage, at the top, I have there's a bright yellow box in the middle. It says Erin News, E-R-I-N News.
Yes,
ma'am.
Homepage
is drjudywood.com.
Uh-huh.
And then right below the title of the page, you see a bright green thing, and right above that it says Erin News. Click on that, and those are some news articles I found on the web, and they're an old archive, and it has the progress of Hurricane Erin from September 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th.
And uniquely, that is not being discussed by anybody.
Right.
That's like the day before 9/11. When Cheney was standing before Congress and saying we've lost, forgot how much money it was, the $3 billion that we've lost through the Pentagon. We misplaced $3 billion. I don't know if it was $3 billion or more. Colorado out.
Trillion.
Ma'am?
Trillion.
Oh,
$3
trillion.
Or $2.3 trillion or $3.2, one of those numbers.
Yeah.
In the trillion.
Colorado Al is out chopping wood today. He had already advised me he had some wood to chop because he's got these weather anomalies going on in Colorado. Here it is, August, and he's only had 1 month where he didn't have to burn wood in his stove to keep his log cabin warm.
Ooh, that's a change. But on this Erin page that I have, the Erin News, these news articles, and what is particularly interesting is the news for September 10th, 2001, at 6 p.m. I guess the shortcut link doesn't work, but you can scroll down the page and find that date. It states here, sustained winds at 115 miles an hour. Outlook, slight weakness of the forecast over the next 20 hours remains fairly constant. And it's headed out to the ocean, and it's heading northwest from Bermuda. It's heading north of Bermuda, out to sea, northwest of Bermuda. New York City.
That's the only thing that I can, either that or Newark, New Jersey.
it's you see the course your interest in taking, if you just you draw a line from before Bermuda to after Bermuda, it's just a straight line right towards New York City. And it says it's the outlook is going to be, you know, going the same. And ninth, it says little change in strength is forecast over the next 24 hours. Sustained wind speeds at 120 miles an hour. Yeah, it's not going to change the next 24 hours. It's going northwest.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
But they say it's headed out into the Atlantic.
Well, see, I like that on your news site, you actually have a link for a small video that plays there. I've got a girl over here in Pennsylvania that just chimed in, and she said that the video link that shows the Aaron coming up from Bermuda in your discussion, it looks like somebody drew a straight line toward New York City from the path of the hurricane, and then all of a sudden it did a 90-degree turn.
Oh, that's 110 degrees, yeah. It's really kind of sharp right.
Yeah.
And you know when it made that sharp right turn? Just before 8 a.m.
Just before 8 a.m.
On 9/11. And if you want to know exactly where it was in the morning of 9/11, if you go to the top of my homepage, there's that link to Aaron News. And on that page, if you go all the way to the bottom of the page, you know, up just a tad, there's this big diagram. I have the path of Hurricane Aaron and the location of it on 9/11 at 8 a.m. And there's little bullet points showing where it was, its progress along the way. And then I have 100-mile circles, 100 miles increasing in radius circles showing outwards. Yeah, you have field effects outside of the hurricane. When somebody with arthritis, you know, they feel a storm coming. Most people with joint problems. And other senses, you feel the storm coming because you feel the field effects of it.
Well, I got news for you. I'll back that up 1,000% because my grandmother could definitely feel that. Whenever there was a change, her arthritis would act up. She could tell you when it was going to rain, when it was going to snow, and any other little anomalies going on.
And people, I bet you, on the morning of 9/11, would be sensing that. But they had other things that distracted them later in the day. But why weren't people told? And how could they be so sure that the hurricane was going to make a U-turn and head out of town?
Hmm.
You know, it, whether it was exactly at 8 o'clock it was the closest, or, you know, 8:15 or 9 or 9:15, you know, it's still, it's in the neighborhood.
Well,
the field effects are in the neighborhood.
I have an IM here from one of the girls in San Diego that come in and listen every day, and I want to thank those girls. These are the wives of Marines that are in Iraq and Afghanistan that meet every Monday through Friday as for coffee over at a major's house, and they're asking me, since here, ask Miss Woods if she could elaborate on what happened on the days before 9/11 in reference to the hurricane coming. Was there any warnings? Is the population of New York still at around 12 million in the metropolitan area? Why wasn't the government trying to move these people out because a major hurricane was headed that direction?
They were well aware of it. They monitor it. And even on 9/11, when the National Space Station was flying overhead, they filmed New York City, where they had to aim the camera very carefully to get between the clouds to not get the hurricane in the picture. That to me is very striking. And the astronaut says, "Well, I'm looking down, up and down the East Coast to see if I see anything else." That cracked me up.
Do we have an audio clip of that has a documented date stamp on it?
It's on the, it's either on Aaron 1 or Aaron 2.
There is an actual audio clip that has the date stamp?
Oh, with the video that the guy took.
Really?
NASA blocked out a segment of what is said. I think it's Aaron 1.
Okay. Well, why don't you go ahead and check, because we're getting up here for a break. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back here in about 3 minutes. And we'll let Cat Stevens and Peace Train take us out. We'll be back in 3 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. This is Drew Raine with the American Disquisition Hour.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come. And I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world at once. And I believe it could be someday it's going to come. And out on the edge of darkness, there I can be praying. Oh, be praying, take this country, come take me home again. Now I've been smiling lately, thinking about the good things to come. And I believe it could be something good has begun.
As food and fuel costs increase, signaling an uncertain future, making sure you have emergency herbal medicines with a 10-year shelf life is paramount. When stocking up on your emergency food and water, don't forget your backup medicines. Apothecary Herbs offers Power Herb Kits with 13 immune-boosting formulas for pneumonia, asthma, sinusitis, flu, and more. Or expand your protection with Apothecary Herbs' one-year supply of herbal medicine. Over 90 products to give you the power to address what ails you. Call Apothecary Herbs for herbal medicines with a 10-year shelf life. Order your Power Herb Kits or one-year supply toll-free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. Call now and prepare for your future. You'll be glad you did. 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident your financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience, concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? Subscribe now for a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster. Experience the difference. Subscribe now online at www.theinternationalforecaster.com. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain tailored investment advice just for you. Don't wait. Get online and subscribe today. www.theinternationalforecaster.com. The rising cost of living and especially food have the experts worried and advising every family to have at least 6 to 9 months worth of emergency food and water on hand. A good supply of emergency food is dehydrated, easy to store, and does not require cooking. Stand-up dehydrated food pouches are an excellent choice and are also portable for your emergency bug-out packs. Just open the vacuum-sealed pouch, add water, stir, and eat a tasty, protein-rich entree from the stand-up pouch. If you want a hot meal, use the reusable flameless oven. Order the best dehydrated emergency food on the market now. Call Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Be prepared with dehydrated stand-up food pouches with a 10-year shelf life. You'll be glad you did. 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning, a never spinning reel. Like a snowball down a mountain, or a carnival balloon. Like a carousel that's turning, running rings around the moon. Like a clock whose hands are sweeping, past the minutes of its day. And the world is like an apple, whirling silently in space, like the circle that you find in the windmills of your mind.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're here, 5x5 around the world. To all my Marine buddies around the world, we're trying to get the truth out here. We've got Dr. Judy Wood with us today in her insightful website at drjudywood.com. You want to follow along? Go to that website. She's got some insightful pictures. We're doing a follow-up for the last 2 days on 4 hours with Dr. Wood, and we're doing a follow-up closure, and hopefully Dr. Wood will be able to take some time and come back to the Wind Talkers Network over the coming weeks for at least 1 hour show every week or every other week, maybe once every 3 weeks, but we don't have the idea. I've got a lot of questions here that I have, and maybe you have, and it'll be up to you guys to say, hey, look, would you like to have Dr. Wood back? Let me know, and we'll see if Dr. Wood can come back once in a while and keep you guys abreast of any information, as well ask you guys to get involved. Those of you that are former Marines in New York, Philip, you've got access to the Marine bar there that says, hey, look, you know, let's start asking questions. What happened to all of the survivors with these red faces? And maybe we can have somebody come on the air with Dr. Wood and answer some questions directly. Dr. Wood, you still there with us?
We can't hear.
Dr. Wood, can you hear us now?
I can hear you.
We lost our audio there for some reason.
Yeah, but I hear you now, just fine. On the Aaron 1 page, page 1 of the Aaron series, not the index, but page 1, a little bit down the page, figure 6, there's that video clip. And I can play it, you can hear the sound of it.
Go right ahead. You're please do. We'll see what we can do about keeping it up.
Did you hear him say that?
Yes, ma'am. I heard a little bit.
He said, I've looked up and down the East Coast to see if I see anything else. And the camera is trained so that if they moved it, you know, 1/2 degree to the left, they get the hurricane in the picture. You know, they're avoiding the hurricane.
It's like the NASA pilots, the NASA astronauts, are part of this scam.
They had to know not to get the hurricane in the picture.
Do we know who the astronaut is?
Culberson, Frank Culberson.
So, you know, we might need to get in touch with Pilots for Truth and have them bring him on and discuss what's going on here.
They'll say, oh, it's no big deal. We knew the hurricane was there. You know, they're putting mentioning it, but they'll try to. I don't know how they'll explain that, but I. They describe the article, and I've got a link to it, describes the terrorist carnage they could see from space, but they can't see a hurricane.
Unbelievable.
You know, the outer bands of the hurricane were right over the end of Long Island, and various airports in the area were reporting thunder. Newark Airport, JFK, LaGuardia, you know, up and down the... Long Island, they're reporting thunder and some reporting rain. There was 0.69 inches they reported at JFK. I think that might be a typo because the other ones reported much less, but they reported rain.
Well, these are good questions. These are good questions.
0.03 inches.
These are good questions because there's pilots out there that are retired pilots that live in the Northeast would know. Some of the information here. This is amazing. I'm looking at this picture myself, and you're right on point. It's the outer bands of the hurricane are right there.
Yeah. And are you on page 1 of the Aaron?
Aaron and Field, I guess, Aaron and Field video?
Yeah, weather anomalies and field effects.
Right. It doesn't... It,
and if you go down a few pictures there to figures 3A and 3B...
Yes,
right
yes, ma'am.
Those are the clips, screenshots from the television set that morning. And you see, they're talking about the weather forecast. Where's the hurricane?
That's right. Where's the hurricane? I'm looking at these at this, and what amazes me is that one little clip that you had under the news that Phyllis was talking about out of California, where she scrolled down and saw the clip. It was like a straight line from the Bahamas headed straight toward New York City, and then all of a sudden it takes a full 90 degree or 110 degree turn and shoots away just as the outer band of the hurricane is getting very close to the shoreline of the United States.
And we know that because they're overhead, we feel the storm coming.
How did they know that this hurricane was not going to go hit New York City? This blows me away. I mean, there hasn't been anybody that I have talked on talk radio in the last 5 years that has even mentioned the fact that this hurricane was out there.
And that it was headed right to New York. Let's say they knew some cold fronts were going west to east. But how do they know exactly when that cold front is going to turn the hurricane around? You don't know that unless you're in control of it.
That makes a lot of sense.
If you're in control of it, you'd warn people to start evacuating because of the concern of storm surges.
Well, exactly. The storm. What about the storm surges that hit the beaches in the first place? Because even at this distance, there's going to be some storm surges hitting the beaches of Newark. And Rhode Island. Did I miss something here? Is there some kind of a hurricane that can go within 500 miles of the coastline of the United States and not cause swells of water?
They did say in one of them rough seas. That was on I forgot what station that was. Not the today's, the early forecast one. The early show. I don't know what station it is, but it's on the early show. They show rough seas over there, but they don't say why there's rough seas. And I do know there's some military ships that were stationed there that headed out to sea. Just before that. Because, I don't know what they were told, but you can't have a ship, in the harbor when you have huge storm coming in. You take it out to sea.
I have an IM from Miss Kelly from Washington State, and she's asking a question here about in one of your pictures you show and what looks like a massive hurricane that is above the states of Illinois and Indiana, but it's not a hurricane. Is it a weather front that you show?
This spring, there was an earthquake on the Indiana-Illinois line. There was a 5.2 or 5.4, it was a pretty big earthquake in the Midwest of the U.S. And right after that, you notice what looks like a hurricane right over, the Midwest, centered over that spot.
Oh, is that what that's supposed to mean? Okay.
Now, that's one thing. The other thing she might be thinking of, there was a hurricane that was over Toronto last fall.
Uh-huh.
A big hurricane.
Well, this one looks like the epicenter of this would probably be, somewhere east of St. Louis. And it doesn't have a photo number on my computer because
which
I've got...
Which page is it on?
It's on the page that says 9/11 weather anomalies and field effects.
Oh, it's on the front page.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, that looks like it's page 7 at the time.
It's just north of and right and to the right. The picture off to the right. Let's see. Is there another picture? Yeah. Above a picture that's yellow, that's got some yellow information.
Yeah, there's a friend of mine put together a video clip of some satellite images that we downloaded, where you could see it, moving into this swirl, and it was pretty interesting. Yeah, that was the one that was right over
Illinois and Indiana.
It was right over the earthquake.
Okay, that's and what is the reasoning for the, for that picture here?
That tells you, you know, what's on page 7. There's just little icons for what's on the various pages. So you can go to page 7, and this talks about lots of different weird weather things. And I've got pictures of the cloud formation different in different ways. Let's see, that was a 5.4. It was April 18th. And by April 19th, it looked like a big hurricane swirling around above it. But on the 17th, it was a straight cloud moving from west to east. You know, it went from Canada to the Gulf. And it turned into the spiral when it got to the Midwest.
Off subject. This is off subject, okay?
Okay.
This is totally off subject. This is being asked by a major's wife in Miramar, California, and she titles this off subject. Miss Woods, what is your thoughtful insight to the fact that we now have a woman nominated for the vice presidency under McCain? You haven't heard that story yet.
No.
It broke just as my first hour was coming online about an hour and 15 minutes ago, or an hour and 45 minutes ago, Sarah Palin, from the governor of the state of Alaska, has been chosen by McCain to be his running mate. And this lady here in Southern California is asking the question, what do you think this could possibly do? Oh, here she is. She comes back. She says, do you think that this future nominee, if elected as the vice president, could possibly be someone who would help bring forth the truth?
I think that anyone, I don't like to divvy up into that because that's forecasting. But what we've seen from the past is it appears to be not much different. You know, I think everything's controlled at some level.
I have her name is Betty, by the way. Betty is also asking on the subject of the possibility of a woman vice president. Does Dr. Phelan feel that it's time for a woman to be the vice president of the United States, if not the president?
I don't think it should depend on gender.
Mm-hmm.
It should depend on what their track record is and what they can do. Not what they say they'll do, but what they can do, what they've done, so that you can, you know.
She's asking here that do you feel that we can get some honesty in government if we can get some honest women in government?
I don't think that it's gender based. That
okay.
I don't think it makes a difference.
And here's our last question. This is what I've been leading up to is that all of the attacks against you appear to be attacks in getting your word out because of the gender and the subject. And this is what I was trying to lean forward. Dr. Woods, feel that you've been attacked because of your gender in getting this truth out? If your facts had been done by a man, do you think that you could have moved these facts forward better?
Yes, that is where gender would make a difference. Why I say it doesn't make a difference in the other is because in order to get to where, you know, in order to get anywhere in a male-dominated system, you have to become like a male. You have to just work within the system you're in. I'm outside the system. And that's part of the problem because I'm outside the system, plus my gender then becomes a bigger problem. But I think anyone trying to speak the truth when it's unwanted isn't going to be given much of a platform.
She comes back again and she says, you made a comment about the truth is unwanted. Could you clarify, please?
You know, the fact that We have a building that turns to powder. A 110-story building turns to powder faster than it would take a billiard ball to be dropped off the roof to hit the pavement. That information is out there. Why we have so many, quote, engineers and educated people, unquote, who aren't speaking up to that is the bigger issue. It isn't the lack of being aware of it. That's why I say it's unwanted. If your job and your life depends on your keeping your head down and not looking left or right, you know, that's what we have here.
Two quick questions. Question number one from Pensacola, Florida. Dr. Woods, in respect to what you say as engineers, architects and engineers are turning their back. Is that what you're saying? Or just because this is what I see, architects and engineers are turning their back to the truth. Do you see this?
Yes. Yes, they're looking the other way. It's willful blindness.
From New York City, from Philip in New York City, Dr. Woods, even the fire department here, firemen in the fire department are losing their fellow comrades at a drastic rate. There are men 38 to 42 years old that were in their late 20s and early 30s just a short 8 years ago or 7 years ago, and now they're dying from all kinds of and we're not getting this documentation out here. Is there anything that can be done to help document their tribunal?
We can't really count on our institutions because they are, you know, they redefined what 9/11 related illness is, or what 9/11 related death. If you weren't there when the towers went poof, we say that it's non-related. If you came to help out the next day and then died, you know, 6 months later after working on, you know, on, at the scene for 6 months, that they say that's not 9/11 related. So there's a whole lot of these deaths that don't come up as 9/11 related because of the way that we defined it. We can't count on our media.
You opened up the whole board. I got 12 IMs here immediately. Dr. Woods, you're saying that what they're saying in New York City, this is just one of them, what's going on in New York City is the after effect from people that came in to help and they're dying years later. This is like telling me that when I went into Vietnam, after Agent Orange was spread everywhere, I can't be affected. Yet in Vietnam, we've got thousands and thousands of children and people dying of cancer from the remnant of Agent Orange 40 years later, and now you're saying that the government is saying people aren't affected because of what happened on 9/11 just a short 2 days later? Question mark.
That's what I have read in news articles, that they define 9/11 related as you had to be there when the buildings went poof. If you weren't there then, they're saying it's not 9/11 related.
That's Dr. Woods, that's like saying there's no egg yolk in the egg.
It's as though that an insurance issue or something. I don't know what the motivation is, but that is the news reports that I've read have stated that.
From Philip in New York, Dr. Woods, did you know that over 35% of all firefighters that were working in the New York Fire Department in 2001 are now dead?
35%?
Yes.
Oh, my God. That is tragic. These are the people who, you know, were there to save us, to help us. Their hearts are, you know, dedicated to helping mankind.
I don't, Philip, I'd like for you to get back and clarify that. Are you talking about 35% of the firemen that survived the collapse, or are you talking about 35% of all firemen of that that were on duty that day and that 35% of the firemen that were on duty that day are now dead today. That's my question back to Philip, and I'll get that back to Dr. Woods later because we're running out of time, and I want Dr. Wood to bring forth any insightful information that she's got. You have any other engagements on another network that's coming up in the near future? And I've got a question.
I'll announce it on my webpage in that news section.
Uh-huh.
Maybe changing my webpage around so the announcements will be on a different page because the front page has gotten too cluttered with things. And try to simplify it. But there'll be boxes for them to find out about upcoming things.
And
there's an archive page that has a lot of old, previous shows that you can listen. You can download the MP3s and listen to the audios for all those shows.
And yes, this show will be presented to Dr. Woods. She will have it archived, and I will have it archived on my page forever. And Dr. Woods, just if you didn't know it, my website server is not in the United States. It's located in Australia.
Mine is also not located in the United States.
So I couldn't trust anybody in the United States. I've actually gone through having a whole web page totally destroyed because it was on somebody else's server, which I didn't have control. And I've literally trust the lady that controls my server to the point where even though she and I don't get along on a lot of the subject that I bring forth, she has never lost one item from my news and views or from the archives that are posted through my webpage in the last 4 years. So that shows the respect that she has and I have toward her in the idea that we've got to keep this information going. Obviously, this is going to be an ongoing situation, investigation. Is it possible that we can have you back on the network in the near future?
Sure. And what I would recommend folks do is download videos, audios, put them on DVDs and hand them out. There's things to print out. And Andrew Johnson, who's in the UK, prints out, he could print a master disc for you if you wanted to just duplicate those. Contact him. And on my homepage, there's a link to his DVD page. There's a little DVD disc you can see near the top.
Okay. Is there any contact information? This is from Philip in New York. Is there any contact information to send you information on possible leads for firefighters or others who might be interested in talking with you about getting their information out to the masses?
Yeah, if you click on my picture on the home page, you can find my email address in there and other information. Or if they want to use the web form, there's one through the whistleblower page. There's also one through the CCAM page, the legal challenges. Whichever way works best. So either click on my picture and then you can see in there the email address, or you can use the web form.
Okay.
I don't make it too easy so that I don't get the web bots that go around collect email addresses and spam them out.
Betty in San Diego says that she stands and salutes you for what you're trying to do and would like to know more about what's going on. And she's hopefully you will be able to get on other networks that she'll be able to listen to and steer others to. So that's why she's asking. Obviously, that's why she's asking what if you're coming up and where to go to find out your upcoming shows. We both know Sheldon out there has got this show. And Dr. Woods, I would like to thank you personally in this last few seconds for coming on and spending or taking 5 hours out of your life to bring this presentation to active duty and former Marines around the world who are trying to learn what the truth is and get that truth out there in such a way to where it can be recorded and brought forth again. The MP3 of this program, ladies and gentlemen, will be posted this afternoon as soon as I get caught up. Dr. Woods will also have a copy in her archives presented to her, and I appreciate it, Dr. Woods.
Thank you very much.
And
thanks for being interested in the truth.
I understand, and I'll get back to you. I've just been informed by Bobby in Australia that the old-time radio program of the Steel Hour is coming up after my show and to be carried on to the phone bridge. Dr. Wood, thank you very much. My prayers are with you, and we will have you back in the very near future.
Well, thank you.
Okay, God bless.
I'll be back.
Okay, God bless. Ladies and gentlemen, that's my show for today. We'll be back Monday with possibly with some information. Thank you, Bobby. I appreciate that. Possibly with some information on from one of the heirloom seed growers, and maybe some more information from Paul Humphrey in Russellville, Arkansas, on bees and growing, getting your beehives together. And with that said, we will be back on Monday, bright and early, 11 o'clock or 11:05 Central Standard Time, Chicago. That's 5 p.m., 1700 hours there, Zulu. So till Monday, ladies and gentlemen, God bless.
It was that the dice were loaded, everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay cool, the rich get rich. That's how it goes.